Some time ago, I read the first volume of a book with the strange title, Gulag Archipelago, by the great Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn. The archipelago represents the vast network of slave labor camps in the Soviet Union. The literary quality of the book impressed me. But facts cited by the author disturbed me. Since 1917, several millions of people have been exterminated in the Soviet Union simply on the basis of a paranoid suspicion of disloyalty to the regime. In our country, we value human life more highly. At least, we have been preserved from such purges. Yet in our increasingly technological and highly mobile society, it is becoming more difficult for people to feel their individual worth. Also in the church, with its bureaucracy, and in our seminary, with its busyness, we may wonder about our worth as individuals, whether we count. In our text, Paul says we do. Every Christian counts, each one of us. We count because each of us is part of the body. Each of us contributes to the body, and each of us affects the body. We count because we are part of the body. What body? The church. Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, calls the church the body of Christ. And so he can write in our text, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We became part of this body at baptism. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in baptism, we were made part of that body. We were baptized into Christ's death, into the benefits of his death. We are reconciled to God. Christ, by his death, broke down the wall of separation between God and us. He atoned for our sins. We are at one with God. Fellowship has been restored. We were baptized also into Christ's life, into the benefits of his life. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we can walk in newness of life. The same power that was shown in Christ's resurrection is working in us, enabling us to cling more firmly to Christ as our Savior, to let the new man daily come forth, and to look forward confidently to heavenly perfection. By our baptism, we were made part of the body of Christ, the church. That's why each of us counts. It doesn't matter what our background may be, what our outward appearance is like. These considerations do not enter in. As Paul says, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all have been baptized into the one body. Many of us are of German descent. Fewer of us are of Norwegian descent or Finnish descent or Danish or Swedish or African descent. Obviously, some of us are short and others tall. Some of us of medium build, others heavy set. It doesn't matter. Each of us counts because we're part of the body of Christ. And if we're part of that body, we contribute to its functioning. Who ever heard of a healthy human body in which the members did not contribute to the functioning of the whole? Paul reminds us, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one, as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The many parts are distinctive. Some may not be as attractive as others. The intestine, the liver, the kidneys. But who is to deny the importance of their function? The eye is not as big as a hand, but that doesn't make the eye any less a part of the body, or its contribution less important. Each one contributes to the functioning of the whole, and so it is in the body of Christ. We count because each one of us contributes. Here we can fall into two extremes in our thinking. On the one hand, we may think we're contributing more than somebody else. I have a keen mind, I can grasp theological and philosophical abstractions, I can write clearly. But that brother has his troubles. Perhaps I'm contributing a little more. Or we may feel that we weren't around. At least we were only standing on the sidelines when God distributed his ability. And so this brother passes his exams with flying colors, and he doesn't seem to study very much. And I spend hours with this material, and I still have difficulty organizing it and integrating it, even recalling it. And here's a man who is warm and friendly and approachable, and he quickly and easily establishes good relationships with people. And I have such a hard time even expressing my opinion, let alone showing my warmth and my concern. I'm not contributing very much, or very little. I just don't count. But God has chosen each member and put it in its place. Each one contributes to the functioning of the whole. No need for pride, no need for feelings of inferiority. We count. And because we do contribute to the functioning of the whole, we affect each other. Isn't that the way it is with the body? You have an earache. The infection is in a tiny area. But the whole head seems about to explode. And we feel terrible. One tooth is missing. And the opposite tooth doesn't get the exercise it needs. The pressure. And over the years, the roots weaken, it begins to lean over, pyorrhea may set in. One tooth, the cause. And on the other hand, if all the members of the body are healthy and functioning properly, there's a feeling of physical well-being and of strength. Each one affects the other, and so it is in the body of Christ, the church. As Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are interdependent. We depend upon each other. We're bound with our neighbors in the bundle of life. Sometimes it doesn't seem to be that way, especially in sorrow. During the closing days of the Second World War in a small town in northeastern Ohio, a woman walked as in a trance. No sight, no sounds, no smells penetrated the curtain of her consciousness. The crowd following her to the cemetery might just as well not have been there. She was oblivious to everything except the fact that once she had lost her husband, and now she had lost her son. Her bereavement was a barrier. And friends have been known to shun the society of the bereaved, awkward in sadness, clumsy in sorrow, they turn their steps away. But the friends of that woman did not turn their steps away. They felt for her. And they not only showed her that they felt for her, but they supported her in her grief. And that helped her to deal with that numbing, unbelievable consciousness that a loved one was beyond the reach of human sight and touch. when one sorrows, all sorrow. We're affected. But when one is honored, all rejoice. A person is recognized for his administrative ability, for his scholarly acumen, for his evangelistic zeal. That isn't the time for envy, but for rejoicing. We're all in it together. We affect each other. Our interrelatedness means that souls have roots stretching to other souls. Minds have aerials, constantly catching messages from other minds. Life is liquid. Personality is porous. None of us is isolated from his fellows. Our interrelatedness means that we matter to others and they to us. God uses our interrelatedness to help each other. And we either work with God or oppose him in widening circles. The belief that shadows many, that they live unnoticed and die unmissed, is just not true. When you have days when you feel almost like a non-person, and you become concerned about the apparent growing lack of concern for human life in our own society, then remember what Paul tells you, a Christian, in this text. Every Christian counts. Each one of us. Because we're part of the body of Christ. We contribute to the body. We affect the body. We live and we shall die in the sight of the Lord, important to him. Amen.